Tzurba, Rabbanan Or Chaim, Volume 8, we'll shear number 9, which is our second shear on Tefillin. So in the first shear, we saw really the ideas of Tefillin, the knots of Tefillin, the batim, how they're made, the leather straps, black on the inside, not on the inside. The Rambam saying that the color of the strap should be inside, should be the same as the color of the batim, they don't have to be black, etc. Tonight we're discussing more the actual practicalities of putting on tefillin. Okay? So, they started with telling the Shulchan Aruch says that you should first put on tzitzit before tefillin. Okay? Which is interesting. We, our first, I think, seven shurim were on tzitzit, right? Nor Chaim was on tzitzit. So it makes sense that the tzitzit came first. I'm going to make sure that they were all on tzitzit, right? The first shurim were all tzitzit. There was the Tzitzit, the Tzitzit Yadayim. I thought it wasn't all on Tzitzit. Correct. Adam's on the board. Okay. So the first two Shurim, right, when the Tzitzit Yadayim, and also washing your hands. And then we had Shir 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 were all on Tzitzit. And then last week we started Tefillin. So tonight's the next Shir on Tefillin. So Shulchan Aruch said that you should first put on your Tzitzit before putting on your Tefillin. And he's got a principle here which is interesting. The principle, he says, Malin Bekodesh. Right, you go up in Kedusha, in the way of the sanctity, the Ein Moridin. Right, so you're always going up. Right, so therefore, if we got a spare one here, Adam's got a spare one. So if Tefillin is a higher Kedusha than Tzitzit, why the higher Kedusha than Tzitzit? Right, basically we'll see now a couple of Farshim Sabia, because the Tefillin has got the names of Hashem on it, and there's Parashiyot, more Kedusha, where the Tzitzit has, and look at the Shulchan Aruch Abiyah. Achar shtavash talit b'tzuyat siyanech tefillin, after you put on your Tzitzit, put on Tefillin, shemalim v'kodesh, why? V'yamenichim kis tefillin v'tzitzit 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 v'tzitzit. Now, this is a very important thing over here. Before we get there in a moment. Now, when it comes to actually, now, so we've got a question now, we've got a talis and tefillin. So people who are married, or some in Hagi, tefillin, talis even before they're married. Normally, we've all got talis bags today, which have got tzitzit and talis in them, right? You've got your bags, you carry them together. So the question is, if you're meant to put on talis, tzitzit, before tefillin, so we've got another concept, right, which we say that ein ma'arin ha-mitzvot. You don't pass over mitzvot. You go mitzvot, do you do it? So what happened now? You've got your bag there. Normally, and I have this problem all the time, your talis bag is a big bag, it's a small bag, but if your tefillin bag is closer to the top, so really you can get the tefillin before you get to the talis, which is a problem because you want to put the talis on first. So you should be in particular that it's put in a way, such a way that you get to the talis first. Okay, that's like a practicality of getting to the talis first. The Shulchan Aruch mentions that. Now he says, what happens if because if you touch it first, you have to put on the talis for the tefillin first before you put on the tefillin, on the tzitzit. You don't want to go off, you don't want to ma'avir in mitzvahs. The Shulchan, the Ramah says like this. He says, "Miu ima tefillin mezumanim beyadov, eno tzitzit ein tzrich lamtin latzitzit lemeniach tefillin kishem meviim talit ma'atav." He says, if you have tefillin at hand, and you haven't got talis at hand, put on the tefillin now. And then don't find the talis after. Don't waste time, be running late. The case was running, looking for talis first. Ideally, put on that way, except you put on that way. But we had the issue here of Malim Mekosh Emoridin. The Biur Alacha over here, right? The Mishnah Brura, right? The Biur Alacha is also the Mishnah Brura. Right, so the Mishnah Brura here, we'll see this. I want to read it actually inside. We're not going to have time. We're not going to read it inside. He quotes an interesting question of the Achronim. He says, there's a Gemara in Masechet Zvachim. Right? I think some of us here, we've learned it again, Masechet Zvachim. Where the Gemara there, it's in Perek Asiri, the Gemara is Kola Tamid. I think that's the Perek starts over there. The Perek says, Kola Tamid Mechavaro, that's the Korban HaTamid, what comes first, etc. And the second Mishnah there on the Perek says, that Kol HaMekudash Mechavaro Kodem Mechavaro. So you've got two conflicting sort of principles here. The one principle is Ma'alin Bekodesh, and where you always want to go up. So you want to start with a lesser Kedusha and go higher to the more Kedusha, Talus then Tefillin. The other principle in Masechet Zvachim says, Kol HaMekudash Mechavaro Tchila, Kodem Lechavaro. What's more Kadosh, it comes before. So you've got a Talus and Tefillin, and the Talus should come second, not first. So the difference is, the Mishnah Berurah gives an amazing answer to this, actually. In the Mishnah Berurah in Biur Halacha, he says that this Ma'alin Bakodesh V'ein Moridin doesn't apply to the actual objects themselves. When you say Kol HaMekudash Mechavaro, that applies to the objects. So you've got an object here, a Talus and a Tefillin here. If the question was, which between the two of those, you would go for the tefillin first. When we say Ma'alin Bekodesh, it's the person himself. The person is Ma'alin Bekodesh. You put on a talis, you're at a certain level of Kedusha. Then you put on tefillin, you're now at a higher level of Kedusha. That's how the Mishnah Berurah, the Berurah Halacha explains that little stira over there. Okay, so. Tadir, because Tadir is not Tadir Kodem. So you want to say that Tfilin, that Tzitzit is more Tadir because you don't put it on Shabbos. Very clever. Good. I won't lie to you. I thought about that myself, but I never found an answer. The only thing that I can think of is that the reason why we don't wear Tfilin is because Tfilin is an Ot, and Shabbos also an Ot. We've got a problem with one Ot coming out of Ot. Maybe the fact that Shabbos is... No. The issue of Okola Makudash Michaveiro. But you know, it could be. The Talis comes on first. But he's saying, why don't we give the reason for the Talis being first because of Tadir Shah Tadir Kudeh? He said, you've got reasons over here. His question is not why you don't do it. Why isn't that the reason?
You don't have to put on a
Talis. But you have to. It's a good answer. That's a good answer. The mitzvah of Tzitzit. That's actually a very good answer. I never thought of that. That's a good answer. The good answer is that tefillin is a mitzvah to put on tefillin. There's no mitzvah to wear tzitzit. You only wear tzitzit if you're going to have. However, though, you're right. But the Mishnah Berurah still says you put on your tzitzit before you put on your tefillin. So he's assuming that you are going to put on the tzitzit.
Yeah, but not necessarily a talis.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Tzitzit comes first also. Question is tzitzit and talis are all the same thing. You should put on your tzitzit and tefillin before you go to shul and walk with your tefillin to shul. We'll see that in a moment now. But that's a better answer that I've got. Okay, which makes the good answer. It's a good question and a good answer. All right, good question. Okay, so now Zohar says as well that a person who puts on talis, tzitzit, should put it on first and then put on his tefillin and then go to shul dressed already. And he says he had mukhtar, crowned, with tefillin to the shul, v'sham, and then he puts on his talis. You see that? So he says you put the tzitzit on first and the talis on last. Because you want to put the tefillin on at home and walk to shul with tefillin so everyone can see it. Because tefillin is, right, uri temotam, it's for basically a public exercise. And then Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah says, but nowadays, right, nagula, it could have up a tarikarul korem. Look at this. The Ramah says that nowadays, the minhag is to put a talis on as well and make a brocha and then put on tefillin and then go to shul. Everything that we don't do. Because it's clear you shouldn't put on tefillin in shul. Right? The Shulchan Aruch Avia, look over here. The Beit Yosef says over here that Aderech Nechuna Lebrechal Takidan B'Chakach Niat Tefillin Shal Yad V'Sherosh V'Az Yavol V'Aknesa V'Tev B'Tev and then comes Shultar with a big talis. U'B'Ze Yetzei Dechuvat Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. You Yotzei Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai and he says Shekatav V'Sefer HaZohar, they write from the Zohar from a Kabbalistic point of view from Bechanan Shlich Shiyer Avush Tzitzit V'Tefillin B'Tzeito Mipetach Beito Lelech Lebet HaKneset. So there, according to that, you should go to shul. The Mishnah Berurah, interestingly enough, says that this is only depending where you pass an unclean place or not. Otherwise, you should put them on when you come to shul, right? And then he says over here in the diaspora, people put it on at shul, but even in Israel, put it on at shul. You see, there's a note over here from Moshe Feinstein that he would put his tefillin on sitting at his seat in the Beit Midrash of Matif the Teferet Yerushalayim in New York. Well, it sounds very Israel, right? Masif Tefet Yerushalayim, but it's in New York. And he would put it on over there. If Rav Moshe Feinstein puts it on, I suppose it's good enough for all of us to put it on. But it's quite amazing that in all these achronim, there's nobody actually writes the halacha to put it on. Even I saw a comment somewhere that I think Mr. Brewer writes that you should put it on like somewhere else, like outside in a room. Oh, here we are. He says, quote, yeah, I see the question that Mr. Brewer quotes. Well, now then, some North American poskim stated that the inepri halacha, such as this one, seems studied from the Zohar, is not binding, and there's no problem putting on one fitting in the place where one davens in shul. That's Moshe Feinstein. But there are some who say so, do it in the outside room, right? In other words, don't wear it in shul. But bottom line is, I think we all.
Line that some North American poskim stated halacha, which seems studied from the Zohar, is not binding.
Right. That's not only American poskim. No. There's a lot of poskim who say that we don't pasken like Kabbalah, don't pasken like the Zohar, right? Okay, so the question now is, so now we've got the idea, right? You want to put it in the tzitzit as early as possible, preferably before you come to shul. If you come to shul, in shul, before you start davening. The question is now, what's the order? Right? What comes first? Shul yad or shorosh? So first, there are two separate mitzvahs. That's important to know. There's a mitzvah of tefillin shul yad and a mitzvah of tefillin shorosh. We discussed this last week as well, right? They're two different mitzvahs. You'll see, it's a machlok and Ashkenazi Sfardi, really. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, look at this, it comes from Masechet Menachot. Now we've seen all of stuff we learned, Halat Tzitzit, right? Halat Tfilin, all Masechet Menachot is all in the Gemara Masechot. The Gemara is like this: Ketana, Keshu Meniach, Meniach Shliyad V'Chakach Meniach. First puts on the hand and then your Rosh, and when he takes them off, Keshu Cholet, then he takes off first head and then Yad. The Gemara says, I understand. Bishlo Keshu Meniach, Meniach Shliyad V'Chakach Meniach Shirosh. If you shatim not ledecha, v'hayu tovo benecha. First, the order of the pasuk is put on your head and then put on your arm between your arms. It makes sense you put it on that way. But why do you take it off the other way around? Right? Why do you take it off again? Hand and then Rosh, the same order. And the Cholet Shirosh V'Chakach Shliyad. Why? Minala, where? Tamar Rava. Rava says like this. Because Rav Huna asked me, he says, Rav Huna explained to me that the pasuk is amazing. It's Amar Kra. V'hayu in the plural. They should all be on your between your eyes. What does it mean? All calls mancha beine necha yehiyu shtayim v'hayu. They should all be there when it's between your eyes. So when you got your tefillin shalrosh on, you have your tefillin shiarin as well. So you can't take tefillin shiarin first and only have tefillin shalrosh because it has to be whenever the tefillin shalrosh are there. It's in the plural, referring to all your tefillin. It's a bit of a play on the words, right? Because this is by useful by necha. We talk about the tefillin shalrosh. It's a play on the words. And he liked it. Rashi says, "Yeah, mashma shtayim, and it's two. Therefore, you take the head off first." And he quotes Yerushalmi over here, which we can leave up for the moment. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins over here says, "If you now, what happens? You know, we discussed this as well. I think we discussed the Daf Yomi Shir, and I actually thought that I had it the other way around. You remember? You know, today you've got these tfei daniot, you know, that the kids use with the one underneath and the one on the top, right?" But I don't know about all of you, but I use like that bag over there where they're side by side. So there's a way to put it in so that you make sure you take out the right one in the morning, right? Now, which side is it? I get confused. The tefillin shiyad is on the left.
Correct. Yeah. Right, the tefillin shiyad is on the left when you're facing your left.
When you're facing the box, yeah, you're facing the bag, it's on your left, right? Yeah. If the box is opening on the boxer side, it's the right. But when you're looking head on towards the zip, it's on the left.
Yeah.
Correct? You go to your right hand, but you go to the left.
Yeah.
You go leftwards, right? So I actually thought I did it the other way around. And I asked my father in the shir. My father said, no, it's the other way around. And I came to shul the next morning, actually found that I had it the right way around. Left. Shulchan Aruch says over here. Im pagah b'shel rosh tchila. Right, because we said a moment ago that one of the important things, ein ma'avir la mitzvot, right? So that's why your talis and tefillin have to be in a certain order, so you don't skip over. Shulchan Aruch says, like this interesting halacha, that if, on the other hand, you got it the wrong way around by mistake, and your hand takes out the Rosh first. In this case, you skip over. You put the Rosh on the side, you take the Yad, and you go back to square one. You don't say, I've got the Rosh, therefore let me do it first. Because based on that idea, right, Rav Huna explained it to him, right? Rav said that Rav Huna explained to him that you never have the Shel Rosh on its head on its own, unless you've only got a Shel Rosh. Like we discussed as well, like there's stories in the whole, in concentration camp, people only had a tefillin shirosh, just put it on, you put it on. But on the assumption that you've got both, you never have your tefillin shirosh on your own, therefore you put it on. Okay. Now, where do you put it on your hand? This is one of my pet, what? I don't know if yeah, that's the right word, but when I was a little bit younger, like 20 years ago, I used to be very particular in pointing all these things out to people. The truth is, I've met it a lot in the last few years. And I'm not sure if it's good, by the way. Because a lot of people don't know these halachas. And if you haven't got tefillin on in the right place, there are a lot of possibilities of the opinion that you aren't being mekayim, the mitzvah of tefillin. You know, so you see a lot of people wear their tefillin, for example, this is your arm up here, or down here, you know, or over here. Or sometimes I've even seen people have the box the other way around, you know, with the knot on the outside. Or they've taken somebody else's tefillin, which was a left-handed guy, and put it and the knot's on that side and not changed it around. We'll see in a moment. It's very important that the knot is on the inside to the heart. We'll see over here, if you look in the actual Lashon, right? So if you look in the actual language of the Halacha, right? So the Gebor Menachot is like this, Tanle Bei Menashe, Al Yadcha, it says, on your hand, zo kiboret. Now, kiboret is your bicep. This is the kiboret. See that like lump over there? Right? So, that's where the tefillin should be. Not over there. Not by the elbow. From there. When you go like this and your bicep starts going up, so from that point, that's where your tefillin should be. Okay? And going upwards. Not over here. Namash there, like that. Alright, it's very, very, so that's, you see that says Kiporet. So Amar Mar, Yadcha, Zo Kiporet. How do we know that? Tarabanan, Al Yadcha, Zo Gove Sheveyat, above the top part of your, Tarabanan Zo Gove Sheveyat, or El Yadcha, must be about your hand, maybe in the palm of your hand, say in your hand. We said the Amar Torah, Henach Tfilim Beyad, Venach Tfilim Berosh, put in your hand, put in your head. Ma'al Halam Begove, just like the heads on the top of the head, which we'll see in a moment, it says, Bein and Nechem, is not here. There's something to wear the Tfilim over here. This is wrong. You'll see in a moment the tefillin should be right up here. So when you're standing there, you'll see that your tefillin aren't here. They're actually pointing upwards. We'll see, that's the picture that I sent you all. We'll see just now. Right? It says, Af kama gosh, Rabbi, here's Omer. Ain't no tariq. You don't need an explanation at all. Why? Because Omer, by Yalach Halot, it should be a sign. The Halot, for all Achim, it should be you, for a sign for you, not for anybody else. He said, Ain't no tariq, Rabbi. He said, no, you don't need that for something with Ra'ele Alevavchem, on your heart. וכשאתם שתהיה שמיר שימה נגד הלכת יוחות ובחיר רב אחר ברד רבי אביה מחמיר ומנך לילה הדה לי בתנך to the heart ממש אביה. So the question should be here and slightly facing inwards, right? So when you put your hand like this, it's facing straight to you over here. All right, that's and Rashi brings all the explain, etc. Now it's quite a nice one over here, because if you're going to tour. So just like this, b'akom lechatan shliya b'zroa small, your left hand, b'gova b'sash b'perik shebein lakaneh l'katef, between your base, your elbow and your shoulder. V'ateo tamat, let's say, put a little bit into the right side. B'inyan shekuf zroa lamat, when you bend your hand like this, it's negative at your heart, and the retua, the strap, yikroch ta saviv zroo, till you get to the middle finger. Right? And then you wrap it around here three times. So that's what I was saying. It's all different minagim here. If you look, everybody more or less has around the middle finger three times. The question is, where's it going? The rest of the hand and the rest of the stuff. Some of it like a shin. I've got it, I don't know about you. I've got it like as a shin over here. So it comes as a shin, and then over here as a dalid, and then over here as a yud. Now that's everybody's got their own little shtick. The Beit Yosef quotes the Samak. You know, I like discussing a little bit of these people a little bit down the Samak. It's Yitzchak Mikorvil. Well, this is like towards the later part of the 17th century, the 13th century, sorry, 1280s approximately. What do you know about the Sefer Mitzvah, the Samak, his Sefer Mitzvah Katan, is that he wrote his book like a kitzur of the Sefer Mitzvah Gadol of Rav Moshe Mikutzi, also a French guy in the early 1300s, apparently behind him, and he wrote quite a detailed Sefer of Halacha, and he wrote like a kitzur of the Sefer Mitzvah Gadol, and he split it up into seven parts. And the idea was you could learn a part every single day. So 7 days a week, every week you'd cover the whole of these kitzur shulchan aruch, sort of idea. So it's quite clever. Another thing that he did was he was very proficient at promoting his sefer. And he sent it out all over France, I think it was, even in the rest of Europe, with instructions to gabayim in shuls to take, if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm all right what I'm telling you, to take money from the tzibur's box and actually pay for copying of the book. So guys would arrive in town, they'd come with a manuscript, they'd come with an instruction from the Samak to take money now and to copy in that copy, and as a result, he had his sefer all over the show. And it was a very successful sefer. So he's quite a Beit Yosef quotes him. So over here, Shikha Nicham Makom Gavosh Azor, on the Bab Polyon, Bezehu Be'etzem Shebein Ha'atzil, right, with Ibshe Korin Kovado. Now you've got to see an interesting thing over here. The Mishnah Brura in Kaf Zayin, Simon Kaf Zayin, in the Shulchan Aruch, which says Makom Anachatan V'Ofen Achatan, in the place of Aloch of writing, the Mishnah Brura writes over there Hakubado Hanikra Ellen Boygen. Okay, that's as pretty close as you get to Elba, right? Ellen Boygen, right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Brura translates. He says over here. Shekorin kovdo ubein hashechi that you armpit shekorin shovko v'chatu b'hagah zeh, and the hagah over there is I think Rabbi Peretz. I saw a note text here. They mentioned it here as well, but I think that Rabbi Peretz is the guy that writes that. I got on the umi ein kulo kasher aniach kiim chatzi azor shel tzad hakovdo. It's only half of it towards the side of the elbow. So he says not the whole muscle over here, just the part according to the elbow. A lot of discussion around this. The Berek Abayit is the Shulchan Aruch himself on the Beit Yosef. When he finished writing the Beit Yosef, I think he already came to Israel. During Israel, I think so. And he wrote like some additions to the Beit Yosef. He wrote there. Only on the part that tofeach, which is your what's it called again? This bicep. That's the part that pumps up over, on that part itself. It's a pretty particular Shulchan Aruch says as well. That it put a bit to the rock. The Rama says, "Chich laniach perosha etzem hasamuch lekovdo on the head of the bone, close to the bone, avalo bechetzi etzem samuch leshechi, but not up here near your armpit." So everybody's talking pretty clearly about the same place over here. The question now, what do you do about the knot and the ma'abarta? You know, so we've got in the Tefillin, we've got the ma'abarta, is that part where the strap slides through, right? That's high up. So where's that now? Is the Tefillin, is the ma'abarta at the bottom or at the top? We have the ma'abarta at the top, right? And the Tefillin at the bottom. If you think about it, you tie it up here and the Tefillin suspended down, right? You're the other way around and the Tefillin suspended up. That's a question. He says, "Avia, minag nachon sheyayud shel keshet tefillah shel yad letzad halev inside, va'tefillah and the tefillah is on the outside." He says, "Yesh lizaher." We discussed this last week as well. Shelo tazuz yud shel keshet meyafel. You should be careful that the yud should not leave the tefillah. It should be tied. We've discussed tying it together with a thing. It raises an interesting problem. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Avia, minag nachon etaken shama abartes baharutzua ve'tehem minachel letzad katef." So he says that the ma'abarta should be upwards. That we should tie the tefillin upwards. He says, be careful not to do it the other way around. Okay, like that. Now, the Shaarei Tshuva, this is Rav Chaim Mordechai Margolius, right from Dublin, actually in Ukraine. He wrote on the Shulchan Aruch in about the late 1700s. He writes in the Ketav Sefer Shalom Etzibu. He quotes the Tariq Lord Tazuza Yad Leolam. So he goes one step further. You see, nobody agrees with him. He says, not only should you make sure that the yud is always connected while you're wearing the tefillin, he says, but even when it's in your box, you should make sure that yud is touching the tefillin, right? Tefillu beyotav munachim betoch hakis, in the box. Okay, noagim rabim miyirei Hashem, God-fearing Jews, to attach it with a chut, and don't use the actual tefillin, when you're wrapping on your tefillin, don't use that to tie the yud onto it. Some people do that. They're like, don't do that. Make it over something else. Because nobody agrees with him. Over here, the Bura Lachavi, that's the Mishnah Bura. Obviously, he says, guys who are the other way around, if you're like a left hand or a right hand, we'd have kept that separately in a second, in a moment. But he says over here, he says, if you're left hand, you only got a right handed person to fill in, all the other way around. So, Yachola Fochla Niachach Titzala Tzalakatef Bavart Tzadayad. He says, you can do it the other way around. He says, because if you're using a left, let's say you like me, I'm right handed, put it in the left hand. If I get a lefty's tefillin, so now the knot's on the other side. What's more important is that the knot is facing the heart. So if you have to turn the whole box around, rather do that and keep the yud, the knot, on the right side of the body, then do it the other way and have the knot on the outside. And that's what the Birachah says. Kain kekata b'shuvat shivut Yaakov, v'atzor ha'chaim, kizeba v'adai, tov yotei, says much better than having shaniach kem v'yeh tefilah samuch le'e v'yeh kesher yud atzchut and tear the knot outside. You want the knot on the inside always. Once you have a gray, quotes the Vilna Gaon over here, he says, even though the Shulchan Aruch wrote this idea of having the knot close to your heart is only a minhag, Vilna Gaon says, "Dinah de Gemara hu leperush ha'gorim." For the Gorim Akos is actually a halacha from the Gemara, which is a much higher status than a minhag, right? Halacha that comes out of the Gemara has got a much higher status. Okay, so that's in terms of the knot, in terms of what goes first, in terms of how to get the boxes. So now the question, our present freedom one is left hand. So he says over here that the question is, how do we know that it goes in your weaker hand? So there are basically three different opinions here, or four different opinions over here. It's basically Gemara Menachot as well. One is Yadcha, which means small, because it says Yazda Eretz V'mini Tibcha. Your Af Yadi Yazda Eretz, my hands settled the foundation of the world. V'mini, my right hand, Tibcha Shamai, right? That was the one that dealt with the Shamayim. So you see over here that Yad is left, because Yamini is right. Because he says, what are you talking about? We've seen that Yamin also is called Yad, your right hand, because of Yah Yosef, Ki Ashit Aviv, Yad Yamino. He put his right hand, Yad Yamino. So how do we know that Yad means left? Rav Natan says, no, we don't need that answer at all. He says, Ukshartem, Uchtaftem, you've got to tie and you've got to write. So what do you write with? What do you tie? You write with your right hand. So obviously you've got to put it on your left hand. How can you tie on your with your right hand if you're putting it on your right hand? Therefore, that means you're putting it on your left hand. Okay, and Rav Ashi's got the best answer of the lot, which we all know today. And then he says, Yadcha. What does it mean, Yadcha? It doesn't say, Kshatem not al Yadcha. Right? Yadcha is written Kaf Hei. So he says, why is it written with a Hei? Keha. Right? Keha meaning your weaker arm. So there are a couple of reasons over here. We'll see that all of those reasons really come into Halocha. The big question happens is, what happens if you're a left-handed person? So then, do you use your right hand or do you use your left hand? So we'll see there's a machloket over here amongst the Rishonim. There's a machloket whether we go after which hand you write with or which hand you use for most of your stuff. So you might have some guys who are left-handed. They do everything with their left hand, but they write with their right hand. Okay? People like that. Sorry? Well, ambidextral, I always thought ambidextral people who do everything with both. But it turns out that there are people who, even if they're ambidextrous, have got a dominant hand, but they can also use their right hand for other things. So the question is, a lot of people apparently write with their right hand, probably because of school, you all write with your right hands. Even left-handed guys taught with their right hand. In the old days, they'd like tie your left hand behind your back and force you to write with your right hand. Today, I think it's you go to jail for that, probably. Right? And so there's a machloket over here. We need all the details here, but you'll see how it comes up in halacha. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. On 21, if you write with your right hand, but you do all the rest of your stuff with your left hand, or you write with your left hand, and all the other stuff you do with your right hand, those would say that you put your tefillin on the hand that is the weaker one, because you need yad kaha, like Rav Ashi said. But yesh, and then those you say, that the one you write with is called your strong hand, and therefore you put your tefillin on the other hand. So Rav Shulchan doesn't give an opinion. He says, there are those you say that you go after which you write with, and that's your strong hand, and therefore the other hand will be the weak hand. And those you say, you go what you usually use your other hand for, and then the other hand which you don't usually, even if you write with it, will be the weak hand, okay? The Bura Lacha, right? The Mishnah Bura over here, it says over here, they quote the Gra, the Vilna Gubba Bura, Echzik, the Gamre Kedar Rishona, he got like the first opinion, there's law, as did the law, as in a cloud, but we don't get all off the Ketiv, it ain't what you write with. Vim Ken, Im Kotev Yamin, Vashar Masav was ever small. In words, we go over what hand you use for most of the other activities, not what you write with. See, if you write with your right hand, but you do everything else with your left hand, then you put it on the right hand. If you write with the left hand, you do everything else with the right hand, you put it on the left hand. Okay? Basically, that's how the Vilna Gaon says it. I think that's pretty much how we got on today. Now, the question that's Tfilin Shirosh, I sent you out that picture, it's very important. Again, there's a Gemara Menachot as well. There's a three-way sort of opinion here on how we understand where we put the tefillin shorosh. So Gemara starts with Tanya ben Ashi. He says aliyadcha. He says ukibor that your what's it called again? The bicep. And beinenecha zukodkod. That's your kodkod is your skull. So where's kodkod? The Gemara says hey, where's that? Amar de Rabbi Yana. It's said makom shemocho shel tinok rofes. So you know a baby is very very young. Their skulls join up and they've got that like soft spot in the middle. You can put your finger on it. It's very very soft. That's the kod, and that's normally around about over here. Okay, my head is a bit receding now, as you can see, but it started off eventually originally over there. So it's more or less like a roundabout, but your hairline starts, right? Like yours, Richard, all the way down here, right? And, So that's the first explanation. The word said, then it quotes a brighter, but necha, where's necha, ze gova shirosh, above your head. The word said, you say above your head? Maybe it's not like between your eyes, probably between your eyes. The word said, it says, yeah, but necha. And it says, Lord, Tasimu Korchavina, but it quotes also with regards to an issue of making yourself bald, of putting out your hair. It says, you can't make your hair bald between your eyes. Now, we don't normally have hair between our eyes. Some people do have like a solid, but most people, you don't have much hair growing over here. So it can't be, it means over here. So the same thing over here, that's it. Then, going to the third, Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't need any of those examples. And the Torah says, put it on your hand, put it on your head. What's on your hand? On the place where. If you get, you can be, there's one type of tumor. Now, when it comes to tumor, tzarat, deget tzarat, etc., there are all different types of tumor in your hair, tumor in your beard, in the back of your head, in the front of your gabachat, etc., gabben, all the stories of your in your hair. So, on your hand, on your skin, there's one type of tumor that you can get. In your hair, there's another type of tumor. You can have yellow hair growing inside your hair or on your skin. So, over here, we got to tefillin berosh, balal makom ritame benegechad, afka makom ritame benegechad. So if we want on your body as well, on your head in a place where it's only one tumor. In front of your eyes, Avi says there's hair and skin. So therefore you can two different types of tumors. So we stick it to in your hair, where your actual hair area is. It's one type of tumor. It's a bit more complicated. And he says, afuke benegechad, to exclude, all these opinions come to exclude between your eyes. Because there he says there's basar and sar, because you've got sar lavan, right, which is white hairs growing there on skin would be leprosy, and there's also nami sar tzahor, which would grow in your hair. If the hair would grow yellow, it would be another type of leprosy. Okay, so we've seen those three ideas. While it's important, we'll see again a couple of different nafkaminot on depending what the reason is. So the Shulchan Aruch says where you put the tefillin on shorosh, ikarei ha-se'ar, from the beginning, mitchilat ikra sa'ar, from where your hairline begins, mimitzchov your forehead, ad sof makom shemochor shel tinokrofes, until the end of where the baby's head would be soft. So basically, it gives you probably about 4 centimeters of space between where your hairline starts and here. People who put the tefillin here are already off the mark. Even here, you want to go all the way to here. And you look at that picture for a moment that I sent you, you'll see that if you're standing on, like sideways looking at a, what do you call it?
A profile,
thank you. Without putting on tefillin, it's really up here. It's much higher than everybody thinks.
Say, where are the boundaries again?
From the beginning of your hairline, when you had an original hairline, right? To up to the end of where the baby's skull would have been soft.
So any part of the bottom part? What the name of it is? The box
that's
on a platform.
No, you're talking about the platform, right? The titofa, I think, right? Yeah. Right, so any part of that, right, would have to be in that area. Has to be in that area. Right, I think the idea is to start by your hairline. And to move back. I think the idea is to start by your hairline and to move back. The titora. What did I say? The titora. Titora. Okay, so now, and then the next important part of the other side with the knot. Right? The knot, again, now it's quite interesting. If you look at how your body is made, it's quite amazing. Take your finger for a moment and move your finger straight around your head. Just do this with me. It's interesting. Do this. Please, take your finger, your forefinger. Put it in front in your eyes like this, in the middle of your eye, and then move it around like if you're cutting your head in half. And go to the back and you'll see that you get to the top of this bone at the back of your head. Okay? That's exactly where the tefillin shiur should be. The knot should be in line with your eyes. Some people have it like much lower down in the neck. It shouldn't be lower down in the neck. The top of the knot should be here. Then when you're looking on the profile, the top of that knot is literally in line with your eye, the middle of your eye. It's properly cut around. This is the top of your head, by the way. This is half your head, yeah.
Which is impossible for you to know when you're on yourself. You have to get someone else.
Yeah, but you can. You go like this. That's what I'm saying. It's just amazing. Feel that bump there. If you feel at the back, you've got that like in the nape of your neck, you've got that like soft area. Move your finger up and it comes like a little bump. And then you go around, you'll see that little bump is literally in line with your eyes. Right, and that's where the tefillin of the knot should go. So the also on page 20 said the tour tichshia kesher ma'achore harosh lemala ba'orif ve'lo lemata, not on your neck. Tichshia mul orif mamash in mamash in the middle, not on either side of it. And he says it should be beautiful. In other words, the black. Remember we discussed last week the inside of the leather not being black and the outside being black. You want the black facing outside, okay, and the other facing inside. And that is mamash brought to halocha as well. Now here's an interesting halacha for me. This was a massive chiddush. I want to read it. I want to read it inside the Mishnah Brura. Sorry, the dalit, the knot of the dalit. I left out the knot of the dalit being a dalit and a dalit because we see if the gemara actually brings itself. There's somebody a knot which actually looks like a dalit, somebody like a square. Yeah. I don't want to get into all of that now. Everyone's got their own minhag. They're both correct. I personally think the dalit is a nicer looking knot. If it's not more correct, it's certainly a more beautiful looking knot. It's more sophisticated. I think it's got a lot to it. Please God, if we ever get to actually make tzitzit, then we'll one day try and learn to do a dalit. Okay, that's two things on our agenda. Yeah. This thing, yeah, I want to just read you over here in terms of the straps. If you look inside the Mishnah Berurah on 27 on Kaf Zayin, there's a note on 38. Which is Lamed Chet. Right, and if you look at the Shabura, it says Siman Kaf Zayin, on the Shabura, Siman Sif Katan Yud Aleph, it's like this, Velo Yitapchu, your straps, the straps should be the right way around. You obviously guys put on Tefillin Shorosh, like the strap is mixed up. So again, when I was young, I go up to guys and straighten them, I mean, you know what, I'm going to start doing it again now, because it's quite serious. People, unless it's something you don't know, unless someone shows you, because a person can't see it on them. So it's probably a good thing to tell them. So we have a loy tapchu, if they do, there's a gemara there, which I'm skipping out the gemara, the Mishnah Berurah brings it. It says, if they do mitapech, right? He says, midat chasidut, listen to this. Midat chasidut, they're to fast, or to at least leave dopistrach, to give stokah for, that's our greatest sin. And the gemara quotes over here. Actually, you know what, I should have read the gemara inside. But I didn't, because the Gemara quoted over here.
I mean, is it referring to the ones that go down the side?
Not, we're going to see that in a moment. So the question is, how many of the straps, right? So the Gemara, there's a Beit Yosef over here, which quotes a Gemara in Moed Katam, which says, Rav Huna, his tefillin straps overturned, and he fasted Arba'in Ta'anita. Arba'in Ta'anita. Right? 40 days of fasting. And the Rosh quotes Yilchot Tefillin, that this is from the Gaonim, that you shouldn't sit out, and it quotes there again of Rav Huna that fasted 40 fasts. Right? And the question was, is it head or arms? He says it's from the Rosh, Dafka the Rosh. And if he quotes the Rabbi, it says, Olam Yizheh liyot p'nei haritzua, the mother would be facing outwards. The Rambam says both hand and head. So now the question is, how much of the straps are we talking about? Because the straps that hang down your chest are often turning around. So every time they turn around, you have to go fast for 40 days. You're in a lot of trouble here, right? And basically, you lose a lot of weight.
Obviously, Jews don't follow that.
Right? You lose a lot of weight. So look what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. He says, "Ve'ein lak pitz lo itapchu ela mashe mekif et harosh ve'dakiboret pa'amachat." What we're talking about is the actual part that's on your head, not the straps coming down. And on your arm, it's the part that comes around up to the bicep, not the rest of your hand either. Mr. Bruce, that's important. Right? But the rest of it, ain't shich lak pid, you don't have to worry so much. The fish and umikar mitzvah, not the mikar. Umikoma koisa eva, mishum noya mitzvah, to make things beautiful. Ra'ula fokshi ashachol, it's alchutz afilu ba'amotai. Even the pants. Now, we spoke last year, remember, about tucking into the pants. Anybody yet tuck them in? I did, by the way, the first day. Okay. It felt good. Yeah. All right. So that is the story now with regards to Tefillin Shorosh. Do you cover your Tefillin Shorosh or not cover? A lot of people put their Tefillin Shorosh yad on and they put a jacket on or a sleeve on. If you're wearing a long sleeve shirt, you tie and cover it. That's less of a problem. But the Tefillin Shorosh should actually be exposed. You shouldn't cover your Tefillin Shorosh. Okay? Look at that. Geboy Menachot, V'ra'u Chol Amei Ha'aretz, and all the nations of the world will see Kishem Hashem Nikra Elecha. Basically, God is called upon you, v'yir'u mimcha, right? And they'll be fearful of you. He quotes that's a pasuk in Dvarim. And he quotes a bright here, Tanir b'Ezer Hagadol Omer Elu Tefillin. So this pasuk of Yabruk Lam Arad Shikshem Kregalecha Yirach Mecha is talking about what? Tefillin Shorosh. Now Rashi quotes something here. Tosfot argues. There's a quick into the Tosfot. The Gemara quotes Tosfot here. Says Perusha Kontos Shekatuv Alehen. Rov Hashem, why is this? The question is, why is the head more important? Why is the Yerum Aretz, and they all see it and be fearful of you? What's unique about the Tefillin Shorosh? So Tosfot quotes Rashi. Rashi says, why? Because most of the name of Hashem is on the Rosh, because there's the Shin and the Dalet, where on the hand is just the Yud, the knot, right? The Yud of the knot. So it seems to be more. That's what Rashi says. He says, but more, he says, Vyeshul the Faresh. Why? He's got a better reason to us what says. Because it's more, they see it more than the yad. The yad's hidden away over here. And the head is what's exposed. The al shol yad, I'm reading the kaman, lecha le'ot. It's a sign for you. And the Gemara, but lo lachem, not for others at ot. Okay, so that's...
weren't they bigger than the other, right?
Sorry?
One of them is larger than the other. One box is larger than the other. I think
the Tefillin Shorosh, your Rosh is bigger than the Tefillin Shorosh Yad. As a rule, the Rosh, I think the Rabbi's right, therefore we're going to uncover it. And in terms of Chatzitza, the main thing we've got to recruit, the main thing of the Chatzitza, right, there should be nothing touching, nothing separating between the bite of the Tefillin and your body. But as far as the straps are concerned, if you've got a plaster cast on, or the case is you could put tefillin on. You have to not put tefillin on, right? If there's something which is stopping you can't actually get the tefillin to touch the body, then there's a question whether you put them on or not, maybe put them with a brocha or without a brocha. But the straps you can. A watch also has a bit of a machloket, something you can use a watch, something you shouldn't take a watch, something you shouldn't be using your ring on. But I think most people are putting particular things that are on you all the time are not a problem. And certainly a plaster cast you can stick your, you can put on. There's a Pisgat Shuvah here which you can read for yourselves. On page 314, he sums it up quite nicely. Now the brochas. Interesting in regards to the brochas. We'll go this very quickly as well. There's a machlok in the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Gemara Menachot as well. Amar Rav Chisda. If you sach bein tefillah tefillah, chozer mevarech. If you talk between each two, you have to go back and make a brocha. So that's what causes all the problems. What's it? Sach in, lo sach lo. If you only talk and you don't talk, no. Bahashalach Reb Chiya, Bered Reb Unni, Mishmai Reb Yochanan, he sent halachot Reb Yochanan, he sent al tefillah shel yad on the hand when you make brashik Reb Zavis Vanu la'aniyach tefillin. And on the tefillin shel rosh, you say Hashik Reb Zavis Vanu al mitzvah tefillin. So what's going on over here? It seems like the two brochas. What do you mean only if you speak, you make a second brocha? Since the Abba Rabbis, both of them say, lo sach mevarei chatzah mevarei shtayim, right? That what is that? That you really only make one brocha. If you don't talk, you make one. If you do talk, you make two brochas. And we're called to bright here, Sach mevarei tefillah, aveirahi b'yado, v'chozer aleha miruchei ha-milchama. This is one of the guys who will be sent back from the war. In other words, we don't want you on the front. A guy who talks between putting on tefillin is dangerous. We don't want you. Go home. Right, so that's a big deal. So that whole Gemara over there causes a big problem. Now, what's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch is pretty straightforward. It's only make one brocha. The Rambam is pretty straightforward. You only make one brocha. Shulchan Aruch says straight out here. If you look here in Or HaChaim Siman Cafe number 39, page 318, v'aniach shel yad tchilah, first put on your shel yad, you make laniach tefillin, v'acharkach aniach shel rosh, v'lo yivarech ki im bracha achat l'shteihin. You only make one brocha. Shulchan Aruch straight out. The Rama says on that, "V'yesh omrim levarech al shorosh al mitzvah tefillin afilu lo yifsik b'entayim." Says that those who say you should do that, v'chein pashat haminag b'nei Ashkenaz mevarechin shtei brachot. The minag is basically taken off in all of Ashkenaz, and therefore tov lomar tamid achar bracha. This is one of the only places in the world you ever find that you make a brocha lechatchila, and then you say after the brocha, says v'tov lomar tamid achar bracha shniyah. It's good stuff saying a brocha, Baruch, Shem, Kavod, Malchuto, Leolam, Va'ed. And that's a brocha which we usually say when we made a bracha and we think we had a mistake making the brocha. If you make a mistake, you say, Baruch, Shem, Kavod, Malchuto, bless his name. Here we say, the Rabbah is saying, make the second brocha, because it's not, but it's good to say, Baruch, Shem, Kavod, Malchuto, Va'ed. Now, maybe it's in case, maybe the Shulchan Aruch was right. No, you shouldn't make a second brocha. Okay? And so that's over there. Then again, we see over there. Now, in terms of the actual the brocha itself, when you make a brocha, we've got a klal in halacha. Shulchan Aruch says over here as well, Siman 41 here, 319. Kol ha-mitzvot mevarech aleihem over la'asiyatan. There's a klal in halacha. Bracha over la'asiyatan. You make a brocha, and then you do the action. That's how it works. So what is called making, doing the action with tefillin? Do you make a brocha, and then slip it onto your hand, and then start getting it, etc., or not? Right? Which would maybe make sense. So he says over here, "Lefichach tzurich lebrech latfilah shel yad achar hanachah lakiboret kodem kshiratam shekshiratam zu hi asiyatam." What is the mitzvah of tefillin? The time. Ukshartem lo otalede. Right, you're going to tie it. So he said, "Get it over there. Set it on your fore, on your bicep. Get it all ready. Then make the brocha and then do the pull." Okay, that's on the shel yad, right? And the Ramah said, "Yad chemish shel rosh." Kodem shemahadek perosho, and the head as well. Before you actually force it, so you should put it on your head just gently, make the brocha, and then pull it down properly. That's the doing of the shorosh, right? We say brocha on the head. Normally, when you pull the belts in forward in front of you, right? That's how it goes. And you got a special kavona over here. The interesting that Shulchan Aruch is quite particular about kavonas, special kavonas for the tefillin as opposed to a normal brocha. Now, let's go to page 322. They are taking off the tefillin. So we saw over here. That when you take the tefillin off, you take the head off first and then the yad. We saw already why, because it says Bahayu in the plural. Basically, that brings over here an opinion that some guys used to make a brocha in Marav, in Et Yisrael, and in Dorian Brachot, they don't make a brocha, so therefore you say some sort of psukim. The question is, when do you have to leave your tefillin on until? So if you look here at note 49, at point 49 on page 320, it says, Nagu olam shlodichot tefillin adachar kdushar uvaletzion. So people, the minhag is not to take your tefillin off. That seems to be like the earliest time in davening to take your tefillin. Honestly, that's the earliest time. It's not the latest time. It's the earliest time. He says, "V'yesh mishekatav atzad haKabbalah, those who write on the Kabbalah side, shlodichot ad shema b'hem shalosh kedushot v'arba kaddishim, four kedushas, three kedushas and four kaddishas." Right? And that means after kaddish yetom, which for our purposes would be after alen l'shabeach. V'achinu agim medaktikim, he says, now people are particular today, right, and Sefer Torah says, the Rama says that we put the Ashkenazim put Sefer Torah back straight off the, before Asher. We put it back after Asher in Nusach Sfar. It's a little bit different. But bottom line is over here. If you look over here now, in the Mishnah Brura itself, in Siman Kaf Hei, Mishnah Brura explains it as follows. Mishnah says like this: in Siman Kaf Hei, which is the Tilchot of Tefillin, here in Nun Vav 56. Actually, you can correct that. If you, as you want to see, there's a note over here in the book of here, it says 2756, actually 2556. It's a mistake over there. It's like the Shalosh Kedushot, Ta'ut Soferu. Says when it says over there in the Shulchan Aruch three Kedushas, it's a mistake. Ube'emet Zerich Lomar, Shalosh Kaddishim and Arba Kedushas. Three Kaddishas and four Kedushas. What is that? It says, Ki Baruch Hu Et Hashem, when we say Baruch Hu Et Hashem, Nechshav Chad, it's one of the Kedushas. Baruch Hu Hashem, because it's Dvarim She Bigdusha. It's one of the things you need a minion for. So it's Dvarim She Bigdusha. There are four Kedushas and three Kaddishas. Okay, and then we got the basic things. Now, he says, interesting in the Mishnah, so I want to read it over here. Says v'kayv u'mikol makom mashrepim b'grad mishar achroni v'makmot shenoagim lomar kaddish yatom b'chol yom achar aleinu, which like in Ashu, the minhag to say kaddish yatom, more than kaddish after aleinu, tov shelo lachlotz ad achar kaddish yatom, and that's really, I would say, is the ikar aloch. Not to rush and tefillin off, keep it tefillin on till after kaddish, at least till after aleinu, okay. V'anashim shenoagim, now he says that the other Mishnah Berurah says people that are noheg to roll up their talis and tefillin and put it in their boxes while they're saying Kaddish, lo yafeh heinosin. It's not a nice practice. Wait till the guy say Kaddish, then take your tefillin. Okay, that's the story over there. The order we saw is taken off your head. And then we got the Machshava. We got the Machshava space. We've ended off over here with the shear, and we are 1 minute over.